Brought to you this morning by First Baptist Church and also by Tallgrass Motors. Opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman. And high school football starts tonight. Regardless of what team you choose, it's always a fun time of year.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Charlie, for having me. It is a fun Friday. It's going to be exciting this evening to see what happens in schools around the district. So,
High school football coaches this time of year are always optimistic. Everybody's 0-0. They've got their team as ready as they can get them to be. So it's going to be good all the way around.
It's going to be fun. I think the weather's going to be great, and I think everybody's excited.
Yeah, and you know, there is a certain similarity between politics and high school football. Everybody at this time of year is optimistic. They're trying to put their best foot forward, and you know, in this case, I'll say let their fans get to know them.
Yeah, that's right. I hadn't really thought of it in those terms, but it's spot on. So, and that's what we're doing. We're in that cycle right now.
We are. And you and I are talking specifically because, you know, you are an announced candidate. You are in the race for the 1st Congressional mm-hmm. District seat. And there is the possibility, the news article, again, from last week from a couple of sources, pretty optimistic, a little bit more detailed, that Congressman Bridenstine could be the selectee for NASA.
That's right, and we knew that was a possibility for a little while now. And going back to my military background, you prepare for the worst and hope for the best. As much time as we can get, we're grateful for, but we want to be able to go hot if we need to go hot.
Absolutely,
so.
But just like a military exercise, or for that matter, the real thing, there is a battle plan, mm-hmm. and so far it appears as though you are executing that plan.
Yeah, and we'll continue to do that, and we'll continue to shift as needed. You know, every plan just survives first contact, so... but that's us. We're going to be resilient. We're going to be flexible. And our goal is just to make sure that we can introduce ourselves to as many in the community, let them get a sense of who we are and kick these tires, and make the best call for them and their families.
And you're also like a battle plan, I guess I could say, you know, that the contingency operation, that if the plan needs to be adjusted, that you can, you know, be dynamic for.
Absolutely. Well, that's why they call it a campaign.
We use all those military
terms. Yes, it is.
Again, for those that haven't caught up with some of the discussions you and I have had before, you started off with a military education, mm-hmm. and a career in, of all things, military intelligence.
That's right. I came out of the Air Force Academy, where I studied a hodgepodge of political science, national security, and international relations. Went from there to become an intelligence officer with the Air Force, served with a unit focused on the Middle East at SINTAF. That was 27 countries, including the Middle East, North Africa, Central Asia, quite an interesting swath of territory to be responsible for. It was a very interesting work. I stayed in the reserves when I went to law school, and I was assigned as a reservist to Ramstein Air Base, Germany. Similar type of work, similar type of job that I was doing with the Middle East, but this time my focus was on Eurasia. So Russia, Europe, that arena itself. So I've had some interesting work in the military.
Ramstein, last I knew, still an F-16 mission there. So busy place with fighter and, of course, also a lot of military transport there.
Right. They were doing a lot of military transport at the time there. It's a big hub. They also had Spangdahlem Air Base with a lot of 16s. But they have had to shuffle their decks a little bit. I also had the interesting experience of going with the Army into Baghdad as a reservist. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that coming, but I was mobilized after my first year of law school, and they said, hey, and by the way, you're going with the Army. So I got to go train up for 3 months at Fort Bragg, and then go as a senior intelligence officer with a brigade in West Baghdad.
Well, for someone who at least potentially could have a seat on a military affairs committee, we've seen a lot of... combined mission over the past, let's say, 20 years, mm-hmm. Things that used to be strictly an Air Force base or a Army base, or for that matter, a naval installation, now we're seeing a lot of Joint Base San Antonio and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're seeing that happen as far as basing. You're seeing a lot of joint operations playing out. That's something that's a skill set that our military has had to hone over the last three decades or so, even more. But we've really become more adept at it, and I think it's good because it complements our strengths. It makes us more effective. It makes us more lean. So that's good.
With your experience overseas as well, and of course with your current career with Voice of the Martyrs, mm-hmm. you have also a deep background in foreign affairs.
That's right. I mean, like I said before, I studied as an academic. I was a practitioner as an intelligence officer, and I've also had a front row seat to fascinating foreign policy events. because of my work with Voice of the Martyrs. For those of your listeners that aren't familiar, Voice of the Martyrs is a nonprofit, interdenominational Christian ministry headquartered right here in Bartlesville. It's a significant work, but their focus is on helping the persecuted church. They're trying to help out persecuted Christians in really the worst countries on earth to be a Christian. And I was their Middle East regional director, so I had responsibilities in that role for project work in 17 countries, anywhere from Egypt to Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, you name it. I was spending about 100 days every year bouncing around these countries, providing the oversight that these projects need, and also providing the stewardship that we as a ministry need to make sure that we're using resources that have been sacrificially donated to us in a wise and efficient way.
Other than China and North Korea, you've mentioned, I think, all the countries that are currently in the news.
Well, and I did get to travel to China as well, not North Korea, but it's a fascinating work. It's a very compelling work. I'm very proud to have been able to be a part of it. And for those that aren't familiar with it, I would encourage people to go check that out. Check out Voice of the Martyrs. It's at persecution.com. It is a local treasure here for Oklahoma.
It is, and I think as we get the opportunity to share glimpses of their mission, it's fascinating work.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Looking at the congressional mission, right now they're on recess, but they'll have just a few days when they come back for important things like the budget.
Yep.
The president right now talking about not only budget, but also the wall, something that he campaigned on heavily.
Yep.
And a threat, I know, I'm not sure threat is a proper word, but I can't think of a better one, to impose a government shutdown if he doesn't get what he wants out of a budget bill.
Yep. It's going to be a very intense season for them on Capitol Hill. There's a lot to be done, and I'm hoping that they can deliver because it has been a frustrating season in many respects. So it's going to be time to buckle down and deliver.
Hypothetically, you don't get a vote right now. You're
right.
Not a member of Congress, rather. But hypothetically, if you had the vote, how would you come down on the proposal for a physical wall along the border?
I support a physical barrier. I support the wall on our southern border. I think most Americans, I think this is common sense for them. We understand the need to control inflows and outflows. We have doors on our houses for a reason. We want to control those who come in. And it's not because they're hateful towards others. They're just controlling that which they are responsible for. They're responsible for their families. So I think this makes sense. And if a barrier is the best way to preserve or to secure, really, to secure the rule of law and all of that, I think it's important. And I don't think this is lost on most Americans. So
it is a capital expense, rather. It would be a significant investment. Granted, it would be a jobs item. There are a lot of pluses to it, but it would be a significant expense.
It is. There is the expense. There's a price tag that goes with it, but there's also a price tag that comes with not enforcing our laws and in a variety of ways. One of the things I talk about a lot are unintended consequences. And there's unintended consequences to allowing really what is a spirit of lawlessness to govern our borders, our immigration policy, everything from sanctuary cities. For example, if we message that we're really not going to enforce our laws and we're going to leave ample room for people to come in, there's incentive there. And there's incentive there, and people will try to utilize that. Unfortunately, there have been people that have been killed, that have died in the desert, making an extreme run, and there's just these things in place, and I think it's important. I think there's a lot of upside to just enforcing our laws. If people think that the laws are wrong or need to be adjusted, well, there's a way to do that. I'm just saying that we need to enforce the laws and put forth mechanisms to make sure that they're followed.
A famous quote, I believe it's attributed to Abraham Lincoln, I could be wrong, the best way to change a bad law is to enforce it.
That's right. That's right.
We will continue with our interview this morning with Andy Coleman, candidate for the 1st District Congressional seat, coming up in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Spending a little bit of time this morning on a community connection with candidate for the 1st District Congressional seat, Andy Coleman, and a lot of things to talk about just in federal issues, let alone anything that else is going on in our country. You're out on the campaign trail. You talk with large groups, small groups. You get questions, I'm sure, even when you just hand a business card to somebody.
Yeah.
What are you hearing that's going on, when you talk to people? What are their concerns?
Well, I think that there's a lot of frustration over what's perceived as gridlock in D.C., that not a lot's getting done. A lot of political capital is getting spilled. And so as time passes, there's less and less opportunity, at least that's the perception, to accomplish things. So there's just a desire to at least move the football, going back to, tonight's being the opening night for the high school season, just to be able to move the football, the policy football, down the field a little bit. So there's a lot of frustration there.
Well, and I think going along with that frustration, going along with the word civility, and there are several people that have talked recently about congressional civility, and those of at least several decades of age, remember when the members of House and Senate may vigorously debate and oppose each other on the floor, but then go out for dinner together and actually be friends after debating the issues on the floor.
Yeah, I deeply believe in the idea of statesmanship and that it's so important for a variety of reasons, but one is also to make sure that things are moving along. I come from a family of a lot of people who don't agree with my policy views. I'm the beloved conservative black sheep in my family. But I've always been able to engage them in a winsome way, in a loving way, and I would certainly do that as well in Congress. But honestly, the situations that we're confronting are very serious. Like you said, we do have to agitate and advocate for those policies that we stand for and really do it and really dig in. And I think that's just something that we have to do. I'm in this race not because it's a nice season. I'm in this race because we as a country face a number of very serious challenges. And I think that I can be a constructive conservative voice, a constructive conservative effort to help solve some of those problems. That's why I'm here.
You mentioned the move of sanctuary cities across the country, and I've even seen talk that apparently one state legislature is trying to declare a state as a sanctuary state. That goes back to some federalism issues that date back to prior to Civil War.
Yeah, and I am a Federalist at heart. I was a leader of the Federalist Society at my law school. I recognize the unique lanes that the federal government gets to drive in, that the state government gets to drive in, that your local government gets to drive in, and just the brilliance of our U.S. Constitution and how it's constructed. But yeah, this goes back to, I think, a spirit of lawlessness that may be done for good intentions in some respects, but I think produces all kinds of problems. Again, enforce the laws as they are written, and if you have problems with that, we can discuss that.
Well, that's something that certainly as a member of Congress, you would get to hear both sides. And I think from what I have had the opportunity to talk with you on the air, encourage that discussion from both sides.
Well, that's right. And I land where I land on the policies because I think these policies, these conservative policies, are the best fit for people. I think this is what will help people. I think this is what's good for communities. I think it's what's good for our country. So I will continue to articulate that message and be an advocate for those principles.
One of the next things that the president would like to see the Congress do something on, I'm sure he would still like something on Obamacare, but, tax reform. He seems to be advocating for tax cuts up and down the issue, both on the corporate and on the personal side.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of lower taxes. I'm also a fan of flatter taxes. I'm a fan for more transparent and simplification of our tax code. The idea that taxes should be able to be accomplished on something the size of a postcard resonates deeply with me. It's needlessly complex. I know some benefit from that complexity, but I think that reform is very much desired across the board from different circles.
There are certainly several tax simplification plans that have been discussed over the past 15 years or more. Mm-hmm. Is there one that you would prefer, flat, fair, the you know, however other plans that are out there, the 999, the penny tax, so many others. Is there a Andy Coleman plan that you can get behind more than one of the others?
I lean towards the fair tax, but I see brothers and sisters in policy on the different fronts. And if there's one that's generating a lot of momentum or it looks like it's going to be successful, I'm more than happy to open up those dialogues and consider those approaches. But I do lean towards a fair tax approach.
It certainly has been discussed. I think that's the same one that Congressman Bridenstine has said he would support. But again, like you, he said, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other issues that are out on the campaign trail, certainly we look at immigration, legal and illegal. There's a lot of room for discussion there.
There's a lot of room for discussion there. These are very important topics that color a lot of the developments in our country right now. Another one is this talk about raising the debt ceiling. I think that should be something that honestly is a little bit embarrassing for us as a country. Okay, we're hitting this again. We're not getting our spending corrected again. It's almost like holding a credit card as a family. And once again, we're hitting the max and we're saying, well, we better raise the max. This should be kind of a humbling experience. This should be a signal that our house is not in order and that real change is needed. That's why I don't support just a clean increase to the debt ceiling. I think it has to be coupled with spending reforms. We have to use these opportunities to change the trajectory of our spending.
So in that respect, then, I think I hear you say as a goal, and whether it's achievable at this time or not, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, something to the effect of if we raise the ceiling, then within a certain time frame, we have to see X amount of spending cuts down the road.
Yeah, I think we have to do it. One of the things that I don't hear enough urgency spoken about is on our fiscal situation. We're in a dire situation. In a sense, we are broke as a country, and I think we need to start talking and acting like we're broke and just getting things together, eradicating irresponsible spending, eradicating spending that doesn't even really fall within the constitutional orbit of what Congress should be spending money on, really getting behind a budget process that's functioning. We are in a very serious condition, and sometimes I think that's lost on our leaders.
Are there particular areas of spending that you would still set as priorities? And I don't want to name anything, just, you know, on down the list, as far as primary spending areas that government should be investing in?
Absolutely. When you look at the U.S. Constitution, the core responsibilities of the federal governments, there's certain things that stand out. Our defense. Paying for our defense to make sure that the Department of Defense, our armed forces, are supported and funded and equipped in a way that's comparable to the tall order that we expect of them. That's very important. That's right down the middle of the lane. And yes, you have to have those conversations of what's proper, what's appropriate. But then when you get outside of that significantly, things that should probably be best done in the private sector, they might be nice projects for communities, such as supporting certain elements of the arts. I love the arts, but I'm not sure that it's worth borrowing money from China, bankrolled on the heads of our kids, to accomplish that today, which really could be done through private circles anyways. I think we have to just bring a sense of urgency to this conversation.
We've been talking for about 20 minutes with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman. Andy, if people want to find out more, your website, and I'm sure they would love to invite you to some events.
Yes. Check us out at andycoleman.org. That's AndyColeman.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd be grateful for your support. Even a $5, $10, $20 contribution that can be done online is a big boost to us and would mean a lot. But yeah, reach out, and I hope that our paths cross sometime soon.
Thank you so much. Talking with candidate for the 1st Congressional District seat, Andy Coleman, and that's a Community Connection this morning on AM 1400, K1, 93.3 FM. High school football comes your way tonight. News on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network. 67 degrees, 5 before 9.
I'm Sean Carey on the ONN. Rogers County authorities.